We have to create the right vibe, you know, the energy, and everybody at the organization has to feel so privileged to be here. It's no other way.
Thanks for listening to the Purely Arsenal podcast. Please follow us on Twitter at Purely Arsenal FP for all the latest Arsenal podcasts.
Welcome to a special edition of a sit-down Purely Arsenal podcast with my regular Neil Shaw. How are you?
All right, mate. How are you doing?
Good, mate. Good, mate. Little bit tired. I got a little bit sleepy there and then realised the time and I was like, God, we've got to get on. Chat about the transfer window just closed. Three transfers in, three out. And the most recent one is we pivoted again in the transfer window and we signed Jorginho from Chelsea for 10 million with 2 million add-ons, 12 million. Initially, when I first heard the rumours about Jorginho coming in, who's been heavily linked to Arsenal really ever since Mikel Arteta's come in. So he's this quote's really going back to 2020 of Mikel Arteta saying how much he loved the player and there was really strong links, but there was definitely links to Jorginho back then. But Neil, what's your overriding thoughts on signing Jorginho? It's definitely a short-term deal. It's an 18-month deal, so it's not one where we're looking at, certainly not a 10-year contract like Chelsea are getting around for FFP for. But so what's your thoughts, initial thoughts on Jorginho, the whole transfer window, three players in, Trossard, Kivior, Jorginho, and three players going out, three on loan, Cedric, Marquinhos, and Sammy Lokonga, finally, to Crystal Palace within the league. Now, mate, Vieira hopefully does something good with him and takes a few points off of the big six there. So what's your thoughts, Neil?
I'm all right with it, actually. A lot of fans are disappointed we didn't get the big names in, Woodrick and the other guy, I can never pronounce his name, from Brighton, which we were heavily linked with.
Cassido,
that's it.
I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, but that's how I pronounce it.
Fair play, no, that's fine, that's good enough for me. Of course it would have been amazing to get two more young players in, because that's the kind of style Arteta is going for. Youth, and then, you know, eyes on the future and building these players up. Arguably, both very, very good players in their own right, would have been fantastic additions to our squad. But look at the price tags for both. I mean, you know, if we got both of them, we would have been talking 160, 170 million maybe, just in the fees alone. And we've only spent on these three, 40, 50 at tops? I mean, I don't even think it's even quite that. So, and my other worry with getting such high costing players with commanding high wages, maybe it would have disrupted the squad in that respect, the intangible way, in the sense that, you know, why are these players coming in? They haven't really done anything for us. We're already there. We're doing it. We're the guys that have got us to where we are at the top of the league. And all of a sudden these guys coming in being paid a lot more than us. And maybe it wouldn't have done, but it could have. We don't know. From the money point of view, I'm happy because I feel that the summer's going to be the big one. I think this summer we're really going to go for it in terms of big signings. So in that respect, I'm not disappointed too much because I've kind of moved away from the fact of expectations, so I don't get disappointed. A long time ago, that's why I don't really discuss the what goings ons. We tried something. So for me, it wasn't even a surprise that Chelsea came in yet again to ruin our day. What they're doing is just destroying the market anyway. We've talked about that before, I think, a little bit. It's just, I don't understand how they get away with it, but they are, obviously. So, that's another discussion. But with what we've got in, no, I'm not disappointed. Jorginho, I mean, it was a little bit of a surprise. I mean, I didn't know anything about it. And then all of a sudden, bang, we've got it.
It happened.
I think because number one, we need cover there. I've been saying to you, Jack, still we've got to look at the midfield. I'm so worried about Partey and Xhaka. They're doing so well for us. They are the engine of our team. And if something happens to either one of them, you know, it's going to imbalance us immediately. We don't have anyone to beginning. We didn't have Lokonga because he wasn't up to the mark. I mean, we had him, but we didn't have him, if you know what I mean. Elneny's injured, but Elneny has as much as I like him, I've always rated him in the sense that he can come in and do a job. We've all said, especially you guys, he can't do it for a sustained period. And he's not...
It's too limited, yeah.
And he's not at the level that we want now. With the way this team has grown, he's not at that level. He's just not. And, you know, I don't know what's going to happen to him in the summer, but he's good in emergencies, but that's about it, really, for me. So I'm glad because we needed to get someone in. It's better to have someone rather than no one. And we haven't gone stupid with money getting that person in. And now with Jorginho, I don't know too much about him because I don't really take too much interest in Chelsea when at the best of times. But
rightly so.
I know that he's not the quickest. He may be not the greatest off the ball, but I know that he doesn't waste too much in possession. He's clinical penalty taker. That's which could come in handy for us. But mind you, Saka's been doing great with that. I think more importantly for me is he's a winner in terms of Europe, in the European competitions. I don't think he's won the Prem with Chelsea, but he's won in obviously the Champions League, the Europa. No,
I don't think you're probably right. I don't think he has. I'm trying to remember the last time they did win it. Yeah.
No, I don't think he has. So he's now people might argue, well, that Czech was a winner and he came. What did he do for us? And you know, Gallus, did he won something when he came? I think he might have won a few things with Chelsea when he came. So you can, but the difference being is he hasn't won the Prem, and that's our main focus, and that's what we're going for. So for me, the hunger would be there with him in that respect. And him being a winner, I think, will help in the sense of that he won the major European Cup, which might bode well for us because obviously he's signed an 18-month contract. So at least he's here at least for a year and a half or a season and a half. Might help us when we're in the Champions League next season. So I think...
Yeah, never won anything domestically. Go ahead, yeah, go on, carry. He's won obviously European stuff with Chelsea. Never won anything domestically, I don't believe.
Which complements Zinchenko and Jesus, doesn't it? Because they're winners of the domestic stuff. So I think we've got him as an additional winner in the squad, which will help. Yep. His experience will help for sure. He knows the Prem very much like Trossard. So I think it's better than nothing. And I'm not going to be unhappy with it because, some Arsenal fans are having a meltdown over it. And I can understand it for a reason because it's like, this is going against what Arteta is doing. And why can't we pay big for these big, players, blah, blah, blah. But I think that will come in the summer. I think it really will. We were looking for someone in case something happens to Xhaka and Partey. It's not like Xhaka and Partey are out now for the rest of the season. Then I think that's a different dynamic altogether. They might play every single game remaining. Who knows? We don't know. So, yeah, exactly. Fingers crossed. So, not disappointed. And then just quickly touching on the other two, Kiwior, I don't know too much about him, but I know that he's... I'm probably pronouncing his name wrong. But I know that he's supposed to be very good. He's very forward-thinking. He's good with his passing. His ability is good, and I think again, defensively we're not lacking, but it's great just to have him there. I think that means Holding's days are numbered in the summer, and there's a couple of others I can see going in the summer as a sell, not a loan. So I think that would be a good signing. But my main focus is on Trossard. Because we've already seen, it's easier to comment on him now because he's already played a little bit for us. And I think he's marvellous, Jack.
Good, didn't he, against City? Probably our best player against City for the first 45 at least.
Wonderful. In the first 45, he was amazing. Mm-hmm. He just fit in straight away. Anything creative was coming from him. He was going forward. He was holding the ball well. He was making some of the defenders look silly at times down on that left-hand side. And he just looked comfortable.
Yeah.
And he just looked like he'd played for us for a long time. And he settled in very, very quickly. He's got the experience as well. So he knows the vigours of the Prem. And the main thing is he's going to push Martinelli to get better because Martinelli didn't really have any competition there. And now he's there.
Really lively against City as well.
It's funny that, wasn't it? He was brilliant when he came on. So that's all good stuff for us. Trossard, I think, is the best of the three for me. But I think he's going to be an amazing addition to us. And he's the kind of player that will feature as well in the Prem, as well as
and
the,
could start some games. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Whereas I think Jorginho will be more backup and Europa stuff. So overall, yes, Jack, sorry, long winded, but yes, happy. I'm happy with it.
Yeah, no, I agree with a lot of that. And I think the issue, obviously, with the fan base meltdown, obviously, it's a parody, really. It's a bit of a pantomime on Twitter, so it's not real life. And my initial reaction to Jorginho when I heard it wasn't a good one. But the reason for that was the pivoting. Like, if you talk about this window, there's been a lot of pivoting to different type of transfers, right? So Mudryk was the one we wanted for a long period of time, and we didn't get him, and I understand why we didn't get him, and I don't blame the club, the board, Edu, Arteta, or anything for not getting him. I actually kind of agree with their stance on it, but at the same time, when you pivot to something completely different, right? You can pivot to an experienced player within the Premier League, maybe on their peak years, coming towards the end of them. And, you know, it just takes your mind a second. Same with this. You're going for a young, high-profile Premier League experience, a guy that with, you know, basically you're looking at a player that could be Thomas Partey's heir, if you like, and you pivot to what is a short-term Elneny replacement, if you like. And I think with that, the mind needs a second for it. Do you know what I mean? Like, even the most logical mind needs a moment for that, you know. And I'm someone that, you know, tweet about Arsenal pretty regularly, so I'm sort of living my thoughts as I process it, you know. And so I'm like, initially, I'm like, no, this doesn't make any sense in comparison to what we were looking for.
Correct.
So, and like you said, the philosophy of Arsenal or Arteta largely has been, we want to do things in the market to raise the level of the squad, but also to challenge the first 11, right? So when you look at maybe deals like this, you go, is that really where we're going with this? Mm. And then I think your other point about being burnt in the past from signings from Chelsea, David Luiz, Willian, Peter Cech, William Gallas, they've all had reasons, although some of them have been better than what people are, you know, in hindsight, people think about. You know, I think there was points where David Luiz did a job for us, and there was points where even Peter Cech did an okay job for us. But I think the difference here, Neil, is those all came in as must-start players. And Jorginho Jorginho is coming in as a player that we look at and we go, okay, like you said, he's an Elneny replacement. And when you think of it like that, you do think, okay, we've raised the level there, because I think he's definitely a better footballer than Elneny. Oh, his passing ability is better than Elneny. I mean, I've got his stats up here compared to
him. They're not bad.
To Thomas Partey and Moises Caicedo, and just based on the last sort of 47 games for Jorginho, but he creates 0.9 chances to Thomas Partey's 0.8 per game. His passes, he makes 70 per game to Thomas Partey's 59, to Caicedo's 53. His passing accuracy is 88% to Partey's 86%. Forward passes, he makes 3 more at 20 to 16.7 to Thomas Partey. So he doesn't carry the ball as much as Thomas Partey. No. Yes, you know, the athleticism factor, which we'll talk about. But I always thought of Jorginho as a good footballer, and my biggest worry about him, you know, whether he's 31 or 24, was his physicality and his athleticism, really. But you know what? When you actually watch him in the position that he plays, he's very, very good at holding his position at the six. I think, positionally, he's very aware. I do think he's much, much more press resistance than people give him credit for. Like, his ability to get out of pockets is actually really good, which is one of the biggest things Partey does for us, right? And I think even with Caicedo, I mean, the money is just insane. I mean, you're talking about a player that's played 25 Premier League games, and because of Chelsea, they've hiked the market to a point where we're trying to justify spending 85, 90 million on this player, who may well, over the course of the next year or two, become, you know, a player where we're talking, you know, Thomas Partey levels. Currently, he is not that, though. He is very good, and he potentially very, very good and terrific, but he's not that. So in terms of certainly the next 6 months, which is probably our biggest concern, I get it. I get what it is, and I think he'll play a little bit more than Elneny, but I don't think he'll start many Premier League games unless, you know, we have an injury. I think my biggest concern when I think about it is, you know, if he does and there is an injury there, which there has been in the past few years, in theory, his position would be, you know, the six and where Thomas Partey is. And the Jorginho-Xhaka combo definitely physically, athleticism-wise, we have some concerns about, you know, I would say. But, you know, we have two fantastic centre-backs behind him, two very, very fast centre-backs behind him that are there to protect and cover. And we would have to adjust a little bit, right? But in terms of if Partey went down anyway, it would have been Elneny coming in. I think we've definitely improved in that sense.
Correct. So,
yeah, I think we have. And obviously, you're paying a hefty wages. But do you know what I'm quite impressed by with Jorginho, Neil, is at 30, 31, that's your last big contract, usually. You know what I mean? That's what Willian, look how long he was holding out for a three-year contract. He wouldn't go anywhere. Wouldn't go to Barcelona. They wouldn't give him 3 years. So he came to us because we gave him 3 years and a big wage. He'd come to us on an 18-month deal. He probably could have gone to another club, I reckon, on a bigger, longer-term contract. So that is quite impressive. And I think you made a great point about him not winning the league. I didn't even think of that. I was like, you're right. He's not even won the league. And that's got to be a huge, huge incentive for a player that's been in England a long time and he's not yet won the Premier League.
The hunger's still there, hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully, exactly. And I'll tell you, I mean, I haven't got the quotes in front of me, but his comments even from 2020 saying that people are moving away from playing the six, and he said people like Busquets and Jorginho teams are moving away from it, and he said there's so much value in those types of players. So he's obviously loved this type of player, and specifically Jorginho, for a while. So when, you know, Edu's getting a lot of stick, and the board, you know, the owners, of course, are getting a lot of stick. My brother, the first thing he says anytime we don't make a signing is the owners. And I'm like, but they are willing to spend money. They you know, I'm not saying the bids are proof of it, but the proof is in the last 4 years and what they've spent on Mikel Arteta, which is a good amount of money. And I think if you take Chelsea out of the equation this transfer window, we're probably right up there in terms of spending once again, aren't we? We're probably top two or three in the league, I would say.
Maybe,
you know, a Nottingham Forest who buy a player a day are pushing us out or something, you know. But just logically, we're right there. In terms of the top six, you know, you look at it, Spurs spent about the same on one player, I think. United, nothing, just a couple of loans. Liverpool, 35 million, 37 million. So, again, we're right there. So, I think, like you, I'm actually... Yeah, I've come around to the idea of Jorginho. I'm not trying to justify it, but I've come around to the idea of how we might use him and, you know, what his role was going to be within the squad. And I think that's really good. Just sticking on the central midfield, Neil, there's some people saying, you know, but we've lost another midfielder. We lost Elneny for the season, which it looks like we're going to extend his contracts by 12 months, which is interesting. Interesting for me, because I do feel like Jorginho is the direct filler for that. I just wonder, Sambi looking like he's on the way out, because I do get the feeling this loan may lead to a permanent move down the line, and bringing in another aging midfielder, do you have concerns with the age of the squad going forward in terms of the central midfield area? Partey's 28, Xhaka's 30, 31, Jorginho's 31, Elneny's 30. You know, we're obviously going to address central midfield in the summer, but it has to be a player that's, you know, going to have a longer-term future at a club, doesn't it? And do you have any concerns about the Sambi Lokonga loan or the fact we should need him this season and we've let him go or anything like that?
None at all. Sambi, so pleased he's gone. Not in a bad way. I'm pleased for him.
I'm exactly the same.
And he's gone he's gone to probably one of the best midfielders that has ever graced the Prem under his leadership and mentorship. In Vieira, we'll love Vieira. We'll know what Vieira's about. And I think he couldn't have gone to a better place or a better home. I think he can only improve under him. He can't get any worse. And, he has got potential. We know that. It just wasn't right for us at the moment. Whether he'll come back, I'm not sure. I think I'm with you on that one. I think he'll end up being either he'll stay. If he does well at Palace, he might just end up staying there for a while, or he might go to another club. But, I'll be surprised if he comes back, but I'm pleased for him. And I don't think we'll miss him. I don't think we'll miss him, Jack. So, you know, he's not one of those where you think, oh, no, really? We lost that player? Not at all. I'm happy for him. That's all I, that's all I can really say on it. But with the age, no, I'm not concerned. No, I know what you mean. I think Partey looks fit. He looks healthy when he's not. Obviously, when he's on it, Xhaka seems to be like a machine. I think both of them have got at least another good season in them. A good season. I'm not talking about a waning season. And I think we're going to go for it in the summer. I think we'll get the youthful midfielder in. We'll get a couple of other players that you've been wanting as well. I have no concerns with it at all. I think we'll be all right.
Our summer's very clear, isn't it? It's very clear what we need to do in the summer. It's not last summer where you're going, where do we start? You know, it's pretty clear the gaps.
Absolutely. And I think Edu and Arteta will be clued up and hopefully they'll start working. I mean, obviously their focus at the moment is on the Prem and get that done. But I think as soon as May's done, I think they'll start working on it quite hard. And I don't think money will be an object. I think they will do it. I mean, yeah, again, Chelsea have just toxic, absolutely destroyed the market, and that's going to be a factor. But I think we'll get the players we want. I think, especially if we win it, you know, it's going to be so much more marketable for us to go out there and attract the big names. And then plus we've got the massive, massive factor that we're in the Champions League again, which is what a lot of players dream of. I don't have any worries, Jack, with it at all. Just quickly touching on Jorginho as well. I think the other thing we've got to know is we're a possession based football team.
Good point.
And that will suit him.
Good point. And Chelsea aren't, by the way. And do you know what's amazing? I don't want to take your point. That's a great point. Because we've got a structure that really kind of he could thrive under, I think, because he's obviously a player that likes to play with the ball. He doesn't want to be caught out, but you know, we literally suffocate teams now. We're a team that you can really guide from the first few minutes how we're going to play. Right. And Chelsea have been all over the place. But do you know what? I thought, let me look back. Maybe he's not played much this season. In 18 Premier League games for him, he started 15 of them. He started 15 of them, and they've got 412 players. So he started, do you know what I mean? So I'm looking at it, and I'm seeing stuff from Chelsea fans. Everything from, oh, we should never have let him go, to thank God he's gone, he's passed it. Everything from that, right? And I thought, okay, let me know. I know you've been poor, you've had a poor season, but this is a player let's be honest, he was up for the Ballon. They were thinking he was going to win the Ballon d'Or after Euros, weren't they? They really were. They were going, he's won the Champions League and the Euros. He's got to win it. And he was a huge part of Italy's success. So I think you made a great point on the possession. That is a terrific point, because we have an environment where his weaknesses can be much more protected than what Chelsea have, where it's really hard to identify their way they're playing. Different coaches every year, week, different players every week. And they've skewed the market drastically, Neil, and the way the media kind of lord over what they're doing, which is just chucking money at everything, is pretty pathetic, but expected, I guess. But they can only buy so many players, Neil. Do you know what I mean? They can only buy so many players. At some point, you wait for the fallout of this. The fallout of this is going to be not being able to register players for their Champions League games, not being able to register players, big players, not sort of small players, I'm talking big players. You've got Aubameyang, Sterling, Ziyech, who didn't end up going to PSG on the last day. They're not going to be able to register possibly even players that they brought in the last couple of weeks.
Mm.
There is going to be a fallout from it. And they've got a manager that has never dealt with anything even remotely close to it.
Like this.
So let's see what it brings, right? I mean, they've bought some fantastic players, but let's see what it brings, you know? And the fact there's not more uproar about the fact that they're sitting in mid-table with the most expensive squad in history is laughable to me, really. If it was us, it would be, you know...
Oh, could you imagine?
It'd be absolutely off the charts. So, yeah, as frustrating as it is watching that, because it does just throw everything, and they're not really identifying players, they're just identifying other people's targets. But, you know, it's not something we're not used to with Chelsea. So, you know, it's probably gone to another level now, but that's, you know, that's kind of where it is. So the more I think about it, the more I talk to you about it, I am quite excited about the Jorginho signing.
Yeah, me too.
Obviously, there's limitations and there's concerns with it, and I don't think we can disregard those entirely, but I think Mikel Arteta and Edu have earned our trust on it. You know, I think they've earned, haven't they? It's not Willian 2 years ago where we were like, I don't really know what we're doing here, and I don't know what we're doing in the market at times here. You know, there was the Cedric deal around that time and all that kind of stuff. And I think, you know, we've built enough of a structure and the way we play to go, okay, you know, let's see how we use this player. And I think largely, Neil, it's going to be, hopefully, you know, maybe where we're comfortable in a game at 60 minute, we bring him on to help us really retain the ball, you know, hold, retain the ball and keep the ball. And I think, like you said, in the Europa games, he may well start a few more, especially if the knockout stages are kind to us. So, you know, we could see him starting. And if we have two Premier League games a week, he would come in and start one of those and things like that, because we've got to protect Thomas Partey. And we can't mention too much on it, but we don't know the full future of Thomas Partey beyond this season. And also Granit Xhaka, he's been with us a very, very long time. He's having a terrific season. You can't think of him going anywhere at this point, but again, you don't know. You know, it's not like he's going to be with us.
No, you don't know. But Jack, if you were saying that they're talking about extending on his contract for 12 months, it doesn't make sense not to do it for Xhaka.
No, it doesn't.
That would be nonsensical, then, wouldn't it? So
I think a lot of that is leadership with Elneny, and Xhaka's got all of that as well, hasn't he?
Oh, he's got that in abundance, doesn't he? But yeah, and you know, just the Willian thing. I think, remember when we got him, we had no identity, and it just didn't know what we were doing, really, to be fair. Let's be honest. But now we know exactly. I think Arteta's very... I think you're right. The more I think about it, he's been very shrewd with this signing. Because he knows exactly the type of player he needs for this squad. And he's got him.
Yeah. I agree. And I said that to John, and I keep tagging him and stuff. I'm like, I went, Arteta's been the main proponent here. Not on the pivot. Like, I'm sure he wanted Saicedo. I'm not saying he did. I'm not certain that was his number one forever target. I was arguing that this week. People were like, you don't offer 85 million for a player that's not your number one target. I went, but do you move as an Arsenal team and an Arsenal board the way we know it, just because Elneny got an injury in the last 5 days of the window on a player? I'm not certain you do if he's not your number one target for the summer. I wouldn't be surprised if we pivoted to a new target in the summer at all, because Saicedo maybe was our number two target or something like that. And you know, obviously there's been rumours about Declan Rice and a few other players.
It
would just be interesting to see if we do, because it's just, for me, I'm like, I could see, we were big money deals like that, you know, we were working on Mudryk for months. You know, do we just wait till the last 5 days of the window and suddenly go, oh, yeah, listen, I didn't feel like that was something we'd been working on all window or anything like that. Didn't feel like that, you know. Time will tell on that one. But I agree with you, in the summer, I think we'll go big on the central midfield. I still think we'll go big on a winger, to be honest.
That's right.
I think there's a really good chance on a right-sided winger. And you know, I think we'll probably end up getting a fullback in that can play on both sides, because I think there'll be some adjustments and adaption there. But really, that's what we're looking at, really, you know, which is really good to think, okay, we just need two or three. I don't remember ever being in that situation for many years anyway. You know, we have been in the past, but not for many years. So no, mate, I think on Jorginho, it's really good. And on your point on Sambi, so nice to finally see us loaning players to the Premier League, that, like we did with Willock a few years ago, that can't play against us but can play against other teams. Palace have been giant killers in the past, you know, over the past year or two, and they could very well be again in the closing ends of this season. And if Sambi plays a part in those games, can't play against us, it would be fantastic. Because like you said, there's a player in there, lost his confidence a lot at City. You know, he didn't even start against City, by the way. He made 6 changes against Man City. The only reason he came on against Man City in the FA Cup was because Thomas Partey had a rib injury. So that tells you where he is in the pecking order. And Elneny was injured for that game. So, do you know what I mean? So when I argue a few weeks ago, I think Sambi's the third choice at the 6.
You did. It would have been Elneny. You're right.
Yeah. And I'm like, he's not going to play. He's not, unless barring a massive crisis, which you can't plan for anyway. He's not going to play. We've lost confidence in him. He's lost confidence in his ability at the club. And he just needs something fresh, you know. And I hope he does, like, amazing for Palace. Because if he does, that's going to help us. Just like Nuno Tavares is doing quite well for Marseille. In the end, that's going to come back and hopefully help us. And there's going to be a good fee at the end of it. So I think that's fantastic. And you can't forget about, you know, players that might come back as well, Neil. You know, Patino's, your Balogun's, who's tearing it
up. Of course.
League One. I don't even know what we do with Balogun, because there's not like a direct entrance back into the first team. But what a predicament to be in, you know, to go, well, maybe we can't, maybe we can't. And if we can't, I'm sorry, if we can't, he's on a long-term contract. He's second top goalscorer in League One. 60 million on his head. That's what I'm right. And if no one wants to pay it, perfect.
Chelsea will pound 20 million for him, darling.
Yeah, exactly. We've just got to start doing that now. We've got to start doing it. But The problem is Europe is skin. I mean, Chelsea have spent more than the whole of, you know, the 78 teams in the big leagues combined just in this window. So, you know, in terms of the whole year. So it's just, it's incredible. The Premier League is you know, got an insane amount of money in it, but it's really Chelsea that are pushing that from the forefront, and everyone else has got a trade.
Gosh, Newcastle haven't even started yet, imagine. Oh.
Yeah. And you know what? Even with these oil teams, and I'm pretty sure Liverpool and United will become those pretty soon with their ownership changes. That's the one thing, Neil. Do you worry a little bit? Because in the summer, there's a good chance two new owners will be in the top six. And what that will do to the market with Chelsea spending, do you worry that not going big in January, not necessarily hurts us in the short term, which time will tell whether it does, but will skew the market in even further to make it even more difficult to make moves in the summer? Do you worry about that?
I didn't actually think about it until you just said. So it is a concern. Never thought of it like that.
We'll wait and see, won't we?
It will.
Yeah.
Because we'll be throwing stupid money at players. And that will make us fall even further behind, unfortunately. Because I don't think we're willing to pay, but I don't think we'll be willing to pay stupid money. I don't even think Arteta would be happy with that. Yeah. I don't think anyone would be, really, because it is stupid, but certainly not us. Because we haven't, I can't see, as much as you've argued that the Kroenkes are now backing us, I don't think they're going to go that far down the road with it, where we pay an extra 40 million just to grab the player we want because another team is trying to put in a sick bid in for that said player. But I just, it's a bit of concern now, actually.
Exactly. They're all going to be in for, because obviously not a lot of, even the big clubs did a big movements in January. So that leaves a possibility for you to do something, you know. Mm. But like you said, it got drastically skewed to a point where.
The only way I think it will help us, it will be all right for us, is if you're, what you just said, if we can sell some of our players for big money as well. So that will help with the comes in from a cash perspective, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And you just don't, I mean, hopefully, obviously we want the title and it would be amazing, but hopefully we're going to be in the Champions League next season. And if we're in the Champions League, and some of these big clubs may not, right? If Chelsea don't make the Champions League, that is, I mean, I think Chelsea have to be one of the favourites for all the Champions League itself this season based on what they've just signed, you know? But if they don't win it, if they don't win it, and if they somehow don't get top four, because they're a ways off at this point in time, that is absolutely tragic. It'd be hilarious. So, because that's what they're spending all this money for. Of course. Oh, there is. Yeah, there's an absolute possibility. And then
Liverpool, they're not being told.
It doesn't get mentioned. All they're being is lauded for making transfers. Wow. I mean, they've made 26 transfers or something since August, somewhere around that mark, 24 to 26. And the only team that's level with them is about Nottingham Forest, who have made ridiculous amounts, but obviously they're not making them for anywhere near the sort of prices that you're talking about there. So it's just ridiculous amount of spending. At some point, you'd think it would slow off, but even if it does or it doesn't, we can't really pay too much attention to it, really. But like you said, like, ownership is one thing, but another thing, which is a good point, is a few of these big teams aren't going to make it into the Champions League. So if they don't, you know, let's see how you're dealing with attracting players like we had to deal with over the past few years, you know. Money talks, unfortunately, but it will be really nice, hopefully, to be in a position where we're like, yeah, well, we can offer you this, but we can also offer you, you know.
Correct.
We can challenge for things and all this sort of stuff, which will be fantastic. But I think you talked well on Trossard. Let's talk a little bit on the City game. I thought he looked very, very good. I'm trying to think who he reminds me of, but he's obviously his own individual player, but he's two-footed. He's very calm in the box. Like, there was one point where he did a couple and just picked out Tomiyasu really fantastically, didn't he? He was not even in the box. He had a great strike. And he's deceptively not slow. He's definitely got some speed on him, and even though he's a little guy and he's got some proper speed on him, but just really his footwork is fantastic, I think. And I think he's going to offer so much, whether it's from the start or the bench. And he's versatile across the front three. So he's a dream signing, really, in a sense, for Arteta, despite the fact we pivoted, you know, very differently.
Yeah.
But I think he can offer a lot in the league this season. And again, a player that's probably hugely motivated, hasn't won a lot in the game, hugely motivated. So I think it'd be really, really fantastic. What were your thoughts on the City game, mate? We lost, made a lot of changes. They didn't make as many. And even if they did, their depth is so strong that you don't see it so visibly. We made more than I thought. But what were your thoughts on the amount of changes that we made and the fact, obviously, we're out of the cup again? We haven't been fantastic in domestic cups over the last few years, but we're basically, you know, the FA Cup champions forever. So it doesn't, you know, we can have a year or two like that.
I wasn't as disappointed as I thought I was going to be when I was thinking as positive as I always am. You know, within myself, I always look at both scenarios, play devil's advocate, and I was thinking, oh no, we don't want to lose this because we haven't done well in it for the last two seasons, have we? And I want to keep adding to the tally to keep Man United away from our record. I know that sounds stupid, but it's like to be above them in something because obviously they're way ahead of us in the league. So, but I wasn't as disappointed as I thought I'd be. The reason being is because I wanted a good performance and I thought we got one given the changes. I was surprised that, no, actually I wasn't surprised actually at the changes. We were kind of talking about it in the pod before, and I thought there'd be about 60-40, and probably about that many were made. But I thought we'd done all right, given the changes. It was a very chess-like game. I think both teams paid each other a lot of respect, which actually is a positive, because it shows how much they have now recognised that, you know, we are not the deadbeats that we used to be, and we could just be walked over within minutes of a game. You know, against the top, you know, the top six or the top four at the time, we were getting trounced, Jack, right from the off. If you remember, you know, within 25 minutes, the game was over. It was ridiculous, especially by teams like City and Liverpool at the time, you know, were just destroying us. And I thought they showed us a lot of respect, and it was a very cagey affair. Cancelling each other out, respectful, both teams respectful of each other, I felt. But out of that, we had the better chances, I thought. You know, that Tomiyasu, oh, what a strike that was.
He came up with some credit as well, I thought. He's getting back to his old self.
He's getting back to his old self. So, look, we've got two great players in that position.
Yeah.
The goalkeeper really impressed me. Really impressed me.
Yeah. So, other than that early pass out, he looked very good, didn't he?
Yeah. I mean, of course, everyone's going to, you know, as I said before, there's going to be mistakes. I mean, Ramsdale still makes himself errors. Yeah, but overall, he was great, I thought. Looked very comfortable. I mean, Holding put him into a couple of difficult positions and he dealt with it. Holding, for me, was a disappointment in that game, I've got to say. I mean, I've always lauded on him. I've always thought that when he comes in, he does a job, but he was well out. He just didn't fit in at all on that day. I think he was the one that kind of stood out, which is, and I'm very respectful of Holding. I'm not trying to, you know, put him down or anything, but I can see him going in the summer now, Jack. I think that's it, especially with this new signing that we've got. I can't see any people for him. But overall, first half, I thought we'd be, and then, you know, all right, you know, they kind of got their goal and whatnot. But even then, after the change with Trossard and Martinelli, this is what I really loved. The fact that Martin is thinking, I've got a competition now. And he was amazing, wasn't he? All right, we didn't get the
Even Pep mentioned it, didn't he?
But boy, oh boy, was he just.
Yeah,
it
was
so
life,
quick.
Lively, yeah.
So
really
much
lively.
Energy, you know, scaring the defenders, you know, I'm not going to swear, but you know what I mean? And he was, I thought he was wonderful. And that can only be a good thing.
Yeah.
So overall, I wasn't disappointed with it. It did show that we still need additions. Obviously, we do need that. If we're going to be a club that not only wants to compete just for the one competition, but maybe go on two or three fronts, we definitely still need to bolster the squad. I can see that happening in the summer, hopefully without this crazy thing that you mentioned earlier, you know, about the market, but hopefully that won't affect us too much in what we want. And we can do our thing. We can bolster the squad. And it's still a work in progress, Jack. You know, we've got to remember, even positive nil didn't think we would be in this position at this point. And, you know, we're still a work in progress. And Arteta's, and he's never said that anything other than that. And he's always said that we've got still a long way to go, although they're probably ahead of schedule. But I was all right. I wasn't disappointed.
Yeah. No, I think when I saw the changes, my initial thought was, to be honest, was don't get hammered. Don't get hammered. And it was a really cagey game. They ended up finishing one of their half chances that we didn't. Could have easily finished our Tomiyasu and Trossard chances, which was a great save by their keeper in the first half. And Eddie had a good one that just went wide as well in the first half. I actually think, despite the XG when you look at it, but it says we had lower than they did, I actually think we had the better chances. But you know, they scored a nice finish defensively, maybe a little bit lapsed there. Sambi switching off, maybe even Sliba could go close him a little bit more. But I thought Sliba was really, really good when he came on. And yeah, you come away from it. Do you think mentality wise, obviously, you know, big two games coming up against City in the league. Do you think, you know, it gives them any sort of mental edge or anything like that? No. Okay, perfect. Good. No. Well, I'll go with you on it. I hope so. The only thing that bugged me mentality wise, and I don't know if I'm leading into it too much, is the Zinchenko afters at the end. Zinchenko looked very frustrated, and I think he will be able to handle it. He's a leader. He's a top player. But from my perspective, when I watched it, I was like, they clearly intended to kind of wind Zinchenko up at the end of the game. I could tell they were kind of pulling at his ear and tugging at his shirt. There was four or five of them. It was almost like bullying your little brother kind of stuff. And I could tell Zinchenko was having none of it, but I was like, oh, when I was watching it, I remember just thinking, oh, just walk away, keep your calm, because we've got way bigger battles coming up against them, right? And I think, you know, there was no need for him to be too down. He only played for about 20 minutes in Zinchenko, but you could tell from the off he was a little bit frustrated at being 1-0 down, and he's a winner. So I get it. I get why he's there, and, you know, and he made a little post about it saying, yeah, we'll see you soon at the Emirates. And we will. We really will. And Zinchenko will be starting in that game, and it makes a huge difference. I think my biggest disappointment in that game, beyond Sambi, was Kieran Tierney, to be honest. And I think what you're seeing now is a player, where he came into the team earlier in the season, I felt like he knew he felt he was fighting for his position. I think now he knows he's not fighting for anymore. And as good as an attitude and professional Kieran Tierney is, and he is top, he's top as a professional. I think he knows his days are numbered at the club, really. Not that we'd want him to be, in the sense that we'd love him to be a rotational backup left back, but that's not what he's going to want to be, and rightly so. You know, he's got ambitions to play regularly and stuff like that. So I think that's a definite, if you're looking at money coming into the club and things like that, I think that's definitely one to watch in the summer. But hopefully he can offer us some stuff, you know, over the next, you know, course of the season, because Zinchenko has his injury concerns as well. So hopefully, you know, we can keep him fit. But like you, Neil, not that disheartened by it. Felt we played our part in the game.
Yeah,
they won it. They can take away from it, and let's hope a couple of those fixtures down the line, they got an easy draw the next round. But let's hope, you know, beyond that, you know, a couple of those fixtures can come at really awkward times for them. And you know, if it can affect one or two of their Premier League games, then perfect.
But this is it. You know, they've got the added competition, and they've got the Champions League. And all right, I'm not trying to put the Europa in, because we've got the Europa distraction. But I think. Pep so badly wants the Champions League without ever kind of saying it. Of course, he never would, but I think he will edge, if needed, towards that competition. He'll put the scales in the favour of that, which will only help us.
I hope so. I couldn't be more supportive of Man City winning the Champions League this season.
No, me neither.
You know what I mean? I'm all for it. I'm all for it. Put everyone into it. Do you know what I mean? Put all your best players into it. Go to extra time. Go to penalties. Yeah. And win it. Win it. Win it all. Do you know what I mean? That's what I'll be flying a Man City flag for the Champions League winning this season. We've got no problem with it whatsoever. Drain 100%. Every one of your players. But I'm very interested what's going on there, Neil. I mean, if we're honest, when we look at the transfer window, despite the fact they're absolutely stacked, we probably should look over at what they're doing and see. And they've not done big deals. They did bring in a young player this window, who I'm sure will end up being a huge talent, because their identification, unlike Chelsea, is very good. But then they lost Cancelo, and it does seem like he's cleaning house a little bit, a bit like Arteta perhaps did last January, you know, in terms of, you know, having people that are mentally there and stuff like that. And I'm sure he knows what he's doing. He hasn't been starting Cancelo a lot. But either way, top player, if they lose their left back or something like that,
oh yeah,
they're suddenly bringing in, you know, younger, you know, kids that are coming in. And also, there's been heavy, he didn't go, but heavy talk about Bernardo Silva wanting out.
Silva, yeah, very.
And he didn't get his move, but hopefully, and I don't necessarily believe it, but hopefully that just sort of creates problems within the squad and things like that. You want all of that sort of stuff going on there, and players wanting out and all that. Want all of that. Want people coming out into the media talking about all that stuff. So, but yeah, when you look over there, it's not like they've made big transitions in January or steps in January either.
No.
So, you know, there are direct competition at the moment. So that's really what we should be looking at, you know. So, yeah, very, very good. Neil, just before we go, Everton at the weekend, new manager, Sean Dyche coming in. We've had struggles in the past playing against his Burnley side, but he hasn't come up against an Arsenal side like this. So, also, Everton in the market, they lost Anthony Gordon, who's one of their best attacking players. I don't know if you watched them on the last day of the transfer window, but they tried to get about four or five players in the last 48 hours of the transfer window, and every single one of them fell through. One of them even took photos with them in the Everton shirt and then ended up being loaned over to Tottenham.
Wow.
From Villarreal, Dan Juma, I think it was. They had another winger who ended up, I think, going to Southampton instead of them, who was basically through the door for them. So they, you know, in that sense, they struggle to get anyone in. But Goodison's never an easy place to go. Neil, and new manager, we know what that can bring to any team. So, just what's your thoughts on that game? How we might set up and your predictions?
Yeah, I agree with you. Goodison's going to be tricky because we had the problems from in seasons past that they're. It's going to be a noisy ground. Their fans are going to be up for it, especially with the new manager now, albeit him. Let's kick the crap out of players and let's build a wall and let's do everything which is anti-football possible. That will be a hurdle. That will be a challenge. I won't lie. Of course it will. But the maturity we've shown this season going away from home to places like Palace, very oppressive. Places like Brentford, very oppressive. And we've done really well. So I think that bodes well in our favour. So I don't think the oppression of the fact that it's away will factor in too much. It's just the way he's going to set up his team. But I don't think we'll set up any differently. We're just going to do what we've been doing. And I think hopefully if we can get a really quick start, as I've always said, hit them where it hurts very fast, then I think we'll be okay. But it's just a case of if we get bogged down with these stupid tactics, and then we start getting a bit frustrated. That will be my only concern. I think we just need to play our own game, focus on what we do at the best, the way we've been doing it. And if we can get an early goal, that'll be wonderful. Because then they've got no choice but to come at us a little bit, because they need to get back in the game, which will open them up a bit more. I just don't want to get bogged down with his rubbish tactics, because we know he's going to employ them 100%. Yeah. I think it's going to be a tough one. I'm not going to go for a stupid score. I think it's going to be a tough one. I might even say 1-0, but I'll go for a 2-0. It'll be a difficult 2-0, but I think we'll get through it. I think it's the kind of game. You know what? I think it's the kind of game that Eddie might do quite well in. I think he'll score the first goal.
Okay.
2-0, Eddie.
Like it. It's the early kickoff as well, isn't it, on Saturday?
Yeah.
So, yeah, 2-0, Eddie. I love that. I agree with you on the team. I think we'll play the same way. The only possible question mark would be Martinelli or Trossard, but I think it'll go Martinelli for sure for this one, especially with it being away from home, maybe us hitting on the break at times a little bit more, Martinelli's pace, etc. I think he'll probably go with Martinelli, who, by the way, has, I don't think it's been fully confirmed yet, but basically has signed his new contract,
Oh yeah,
which has been kind of going under the radar over the last few weeks, but that's a fantastic thing, and hopefully Saliba and Saka to follow.
Saliba next,
the biggest things in this window, to be honest. So, I'm worried. I mean, Sean Dyche has the first thing he did coming into Everton's training was make sure all his players were wearing shin pads in training, and I was like, I'm surprised they weren't helmet and pads. Do you know what I mean? I'm surprised he didn't have a helmet and shoulder
pads. Why doesn't he go to American football, play there, do that?
No, he's a nightmare. Isn't he? He's a nightmare. But we got to deal with it, and we've got to deal with it. You know, more effectively than we did at times when he was at he was at Burnley. So we've got to be able to deal with that, and hopefully Arteta's grilling, you know, putting that into our players' heads right now. But I'll go 2-1. I'll go 2-1 Arsenal. And I'll say Martinelli. Martinelli's in a little bit of a drought, and we've been pinging one top bin from the edge of the area.
So we
could really, really do with that, and that'll give him the confidence because he's got competition there. You know, there's not every place on the pitch that we've got direct competition for, but he really does have now, I think. And Trossard's not messing about, so it looks interesting, mate. But mate, transfer window is closed. Nice to see Marquinhos get some playing time, even if it is in the
Championship. Good luck to him. I love him. I like him as a player.
But great to get 100 grand a week, Cedric, off the books as well, which is nice. Another loan within the league. So that'll be good. Got him, Willian, Leno all over at Fulham. Doing their thing, taking points off of teams but us, hopefully, which would be nice. All that good stuff. But, Neil, it's been great. We'll be back after the Everton game. We're at Purely Arsenal FP on Twitter. As always, Purely Arsenal podcast on YouTube. Subscribe to us. Tune in. We're usually doing one post-game per week, sometimes little specials like this. And let's get back to focusing on that Premier League and get 3 points on Saturday, hey? Up the Arsenal, mate. Up the Arsenal.